Well, let's turn to the Word, okay? So, yay, the Word of God. You know, sometimes I think there should be some excitement when we get to the Word of God. You know, I don't know if you've ever been hungry and just want to sit down for a good meal. You get excited, you get ready, you sit down, you set the plate. I think sometimes when we come in to read the Word of God, we should have that same excitement, you know? It's like, Lord, I'm hungry, feed me, right? And if we approach the Word of God that way, we're very likely to get fed. Right? We're very, very likely to get fed. Just don't feed on junk. You know, I always tell the kids, don't feed on junk food. It'll ruin your appetite. And I think there's spiritual correlations with that too. Or just sometimes, you know, the busyness of life. But if we will anticipate and expect, God will give us something. So I just pray this morning, God, give us something good from by your Holy Spirit, make something come alive. Absolutely. There's words on the page, come alive. Well, I'm just going to open up with a verse we know very well. I'm just going to take it out of Matthew 22, verse 36. As someone is talking to Jesus about the greatest commandment, he says, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. I'm going to come back to that. Now, imagine with me that you walk into a power plant, okay? You get a tour of the local power plant, and the plant produces electricity for the whole city, the city you live in. It's a large plant with great capacity to produce power. But the day you take the tour of the plant, you notice something is wrong, very wrong at the plant. You see where part of the power station is operating with full force. Everything is going just right, producing electricity and power for the city. Yet at the same time, you notice there's another part of the plant that's not. In fact, it's totally dark, and it seems to be shut down altogether. You ask the manager of the plant, why is this? Why is there this part of the plant that seems to be just non-functional altogether? And the manager tells you that damage occurred. Damage occurred at the plant years ago, many years ago. Okay. And he continues to say that the city cannot grow beyond the capacity that the plant is producing. So it can't really grow anymore because, well, the plant can't support it. Right? It just can't support the growth of the city. Of course, you ask the manager, why hasn't the damaged part of the power plant been fixed? The question then never really gets answered as the manager evades the question and doesn't really answer the question. And so you leave that day frustrated. You leave frustrated because the problem has not and is not being addressed. It's not being worked on. And the city in which you live cannot grow. Well, that's frustrating, isn't it? Have you ever seen a situation or been in a situation? Not at the power plant or maybe some kind of situation where there is obvious solutions to frustrating issues. There are obvious solutions to frustrating problems in your life or just in lives of people that you see around you. These situations could be fixed. They could be. But it just seems that nobody wants to give the effort needed to fix the problem. Well, that sounds like a governmental issue, right? But what about personal issues? What about things that we see around us? Maybe they're in our community, but maybe they're also in lives around us. Maybe they're in our own lives. There's things and situations that have solutions, but they just don't ever seem to get fixed. It's like my basement never seems to get clean. I wonder why that is. Haven't figured that one out yet. You know, these problems can be like a car. Some of you like cars, some of you like vehicles, some of you like working on them. It can be like a car where the second gear has failed. You know gears, right? You start in first and you go on up, depending how many gears your car has. I know these days we're getting cars that don't have gears. But if you don't have second gear and second gear has failed, well, you're stuck, right? You can still drive the car, right? I've actually had this experience. You can still drive the car, but the second gear has failed. So you never get out of first gear. Have you ever had that experience where you just drive a car and you can only drive in first gear? Oh, it's frustrating. You can drive it, but that means your travel will be greatly limited. You might be able to go maybe 15, maybe 20 miles per hour. Depends how hard you push the first gear. You can travel, but you will go at a snail's pace. You are greatly limited. So gears, power plants. How does this relate at all to everyday life? I want to suggest to you that it does. Suggest to you that you might even have allowed something along this lines to happen in your own life. Maybe. Maybe your inner person is not operating at full capacity. You ever experienced that? Ever thought about that? So this morning, I want to get to the heart of the matter. Literally, talk about the heart of the matter. Because I believe sometimes we have to look inward. And you know, this season of Lent is about that. I mean, we've talked about it. We've talked about fasting. Why are we fasting? Why is this season? Because this time of Lent is a time of reflection. It's a time to go deeper. It's a time to think about things that we don't normally think about because the busyness of life won't even allow it. But we're taking time. I hope you are taking time to consider life in its fullness, life in its breadth. We need to look at the inward working of our lives. What's flowing on the inside of us and what's not? What's flowing in us and what's flowing out of us? It's our inner being that we have to think about. We can't see it, but it's crucial to our lives. You know, the Bible calls this your heart. Your heart. Not the one that's pumping blood through your body, but it's the one that's the very center of your being. Looking at a Bible dictionary, Easton's Bible Dictionary describes it this way. It says, according to the Bible, the heart is the center not only of spiritual activity, but of all the operations of human life. The heart is the home of the personal life. And the heart is also the seat of the conscience, or the center of our conscience. Pastor, author, Paul David Tripp gives this definition of the heart. He says, the heart is the causal core of our personhood. The causal core. The heart is the directional system of our lives. The heart shapes our words, and it shapes our behavior. Our heart is crucial. It's crucial to our lives, so we must pay attention to our heart. Do we pay attention to our heart? Do we pay enough attention to what's going on the inside of us? You know, if we see behavior in other people, whether it's good or bad, we should just probably ask the question, what's in their heart? What's going on the inside of them? What kind of heart do they have? Because that behavior leads directly back to the heart. You see, the cultivation of the heart is crucial to a fruitful life. Luke 6, verse 43 speaks about this. We can look at Luke 6. Talking about good fruit and bad fruit, it's saying no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So sometimes words are not just words. Words are just a reflection. They can be a reflection of what's in the heart. And the things sometimes we see on the outside, the exterior of our lives, can just point to something that's on a deeper level on the inside of our lives. The heart in Scripture continually points to the inner life, our inner life, everyone's inner life. Because the inner life is the source of the type of fruit or the lack of fruit in our lives. The life of a person flows out of the heart. So the Bible speaks to us that we should tend to our hearts. So important, so crucial. To neglect it or to show indifference in this area will lead us to live life in first gear. It can lead to that kind of problem. Proverbs 4:23 encourages us. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The springs of life. I mean, that says right there that the desire for God for us is that we flow with springs of living water, life-giving water. Life flows from the heart. Life can be amazingly abundant. Life can be amazingly, like, just full, this vitality just busting forth. Life absolutely can be the way. In fact, that's God's desire for us. God's desire for you and for me and for all of us is to experience this joy, this overwhelming joy, the joy of our salvation, the joy of our relationship with God, this joy of community of Christ when we share Christ with one another, blessing each other, loving each other, helping each other. Yes, like the Lord has this to bless his people with this vitality of life. But the Bible also says, be careful. The heart can be deceitful. And the heart can be corrupt. Well, we know throughout the Bible speaks about sin and the corruption of sin and how sin corrupts our heart and disconnects us from God. Disconnects us from the life giver. And so can corrupt the very thing where life should be coming from. There's also the heart that is failing, or the heart that is crippled, struggling to function. We see that in the inner life, we must pay attention because it's so crucial to who we are. So I cannot talk about the fullness and the breadth of the heart. The heart in the Bible is mentioned over 800 times. If you want to do a good word study, go look at the heart in the Old and New Testament. It is everywhere. You will be amazed at what God speaks and how important the heart is to his creation and what he has created in us. But I want to focus a little bit more this morning on the failing heart. The failing heart, the heart that's broken, the heart's experienced brokenness and broken pieces. So actually, who am I speaking about this morning? Well, all of us, right? All of us. Because there's not anybody in here who's not experienced brokenness in some way or some form. And the broken heart can be troubling. A broken heart can make you sick, can make you weary, can make you tired. And that lack of wholeness on the inside of us can create a disconnect. A disconnect that sometimes we don't even always realize is there. Psalm 34 speaks about brokenhearted people. Psalm 34, verse 18, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And then in verse
Then Psalm 147, verse 3, it says that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You know, Scripture tells us that God is there for us. He's there for each one of us. He knows you have brokenness. He knows. And He's there for us. It says He's very near. He's very close to the brokenhearted. Because it's His desire. It's His desire to bind up their wounds. God's a healer. He's a healer. He heals the brokenhearted. That's what He does. You see, He knows troubles are common to everyone. Everybody in the world will experience troubles. Believers are not immune. We're not immune. Just because we became Christians, we're not immune to brokenness. It does visit us, and it visits our home. Yet we have God with us. Oh, that is such a great truth, that God is with us. He's near. He's so close. Because He knows. He knows that we're in need of rest. He knows that we're in need of renewal. He knows that we're in need of mending. There's seasons in our lives and there's times in our lives, and He's there. Because we do grow tired and weary, our strength does fail. Life can hurt at times. It can really, really hurt. And we're in need of restoration. Now, God is that. He is that for us. And it's important to know God in this way, because this is an aspect of God that we all need to come to know. We need to know this God who is this mender of wounds. We need to know God. He takes your brokenness and He creates a new flowing life in you. In Hebrew, He's known as Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. The God who is our healer. That's what it speaks of. He is Jehovah Rapha. Jeremiah 17, verse 13. It says, Lord, You are the hope of Israel. All who forsake You will be put to shame. Those who turn away from You will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. It says, heal Me, Lord. Heal Me and I will be healed. Save Me, Lord, and I will be saved. For You are the one I praise. They keep saying to Me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it now be fulfilled. Let it now be fulfilled. The word of the Lord in our lives. There's the cry here. The cry in Scripture. Let it be our cry. Because there's times when we need to cry out like this. It says, heal Me, Lord. And I believe, I trust, I have faith that You're the one. You're the one who will bring my healing. Save Me, Lord, for You are the one who will bring my salvation. Now, Jeremiah is definitely talking about a people who are troubled. Great difficulty and great distress. And he's pointing them to their healer. God is our healer. And there's a call for us to trust Him. To trust Him as Jehovah Rapha. To trust Him with our very inner being. The depths of our soul. The depths of our being. You know, every one of us will have great disappointments in life. Every one of us will experience loss. That is just the world that we live in. Fallen as it is. Broken as it is, we can't escape. We can't live a life free from loss or free from brokenness, free from disappointments. It comes. There will be seasons. The loss is real and it affects us. It affects us on deep levels. But it's how we deal with the loss. It's how we deal with those disappointments that is very important. Because some of us can get stuck. We can get stuck in life. Like we get stuck in first gear. And we can't seem to get out of it. when faced with certain losses or great disappointments. It simply seems impossible at times to go forward when we consider this in our life, whatever that is, whatever that may be, when we consider certain things that have taken place in our lives. We can get stuck. But God wants to work in us to bring wholeness in and through us. He wants those rivers, those flowing waters, those springs to be full and fresh and alive in us. You know, there's things in life that we don't understand. We may never understand on this side of things. And we can tell God that we don't understand this. Why this? We don't understand. And we can tell God that we're upset at Him. It's not a terrible thing, by the way, if you want to tell God that, frankly, you're upset at Him. It's okay. Have a conversation with God. You're upset at Him for all the pain that you've experienced in your life, for specific pain. But we must tend to our hearts. We must tend to them. To give up hope, to shut down, to cut off, to turn away from God, those type of things, well, they don't lead to healing. They don't lead us into the healer's presence. They don't lead us to a pathway of healing. Now, they more likely, they'll lead us to despair. And they'll lead us to be cut off from the very source who is our healer. That's not what we want. We don't want that, but yet we do. At times, we do. We do shut down. We're like the power plant who just shuts down part of the plant and says, okay, done with that. No fixing there. We're just going to operate on less than capacity. A lesser life, a lesser functioning. That can lead to despair. You know, there's one thing that's good for each and every one of us. When loss happens in our lives, it's good to mourn. It's good to mourn. And I'm not here to speak all about mourning, but I'm saying that it is good to mourn because healthy mourning leads to healing. That's something we need to know, that it's okay to grieve, it's okay to mourn. In fact, you need to. Because when loss happens in life, and it could be the loss of a dream, it could be a loss of a relationship, it could be loss of life, of people that we've loved, it's necessary. Mourning is necessary. The Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So the Bible says mourn, grieve. You need to experience that loss. And yes, it's painful. And yes, it hurts. But our mourning should lead us to God, not away from God. It should lead us to God. And we will be comforted. It's healthy when our mourning leads us to God. But there are places in our lives where we can get stuck. And Lent is a time to reflect, oh God, is there anywhere in my life where I'm stuck? Where at some point in time, I just stopped. I gave up. I let go. I said, I'm not going to deal with this anymore. I'm done with this. And it can be places of great frustration. You know, it's hard to come to terms sometimes with our loss or our great disappointments in life. But if we don't deal with these things, you know, there's a place in us that needs to cry out for God for help. Oh God, I can't handle this. I can't deal with this. I don't even know what to do with this. But we cry out for God's help. We cry out for Him. That God, and we have to look at God as our source. That's so important. As our source of our healing. Not our adversary. Not the one who did this to me. God wants probably more for our lives than sometimes we want for ourselves. And God wants us to operate with a joy, an abundant joy that maybe sometimes we've forgotten about because it's been years since we had the kind of abundant joy that we've had in the past. We can all function on a basic level. We all can. We can get things done. We can accomplish tasks. We can associate with others on a basic subsistence level. But just functioning to get through is not God's plan for my life. He created us for more. The blueprints for our life, I can speak for each and every one of us, more. There is more. There is more. God created a God-shaped heart in me that flows with the wellsprings of life. It's just that things in life sometimes want to come and stop it up. We say, no, Lord, I don't want anything to come into my life to reduce me in any area of my life to just subsistence living. There's a story that somebody shared with me. Well, actually, they were asking me to pray for their brother. It was like back in campus ministry, and I remember he just came to me and he was sharing his testament, the word about his brother. Say, pray for him because he's gone away from the Lord. He's gone away from God. He used to be a Christian. He was in college. He was playing baseball. His dream was to be a professional baseball player. That was his dream, his heart. And then something happened. His arm got broken or severely injured. And it was his pitching arm. He was a pitcher. He was going to pitch professionally. That was his heart. And then this accident happened. And he couldn't play. The scouts couldn't see him. He couldn't be drafted. And it never healed the way he desired it to heal. And he prayed. He prayed for healing. He prayed for wholeness. He prayed that he'd get back on that mound and pitch and get before the scouts and be drafted and go on and play Major League Baseball. But it never happened. But there was a great woundedness that took place in his heart. And what did he do? Well, he said, pray for him because he blames God. It's God's fault. Because he could have healed me. He could have done this for me. He could have put me back on that mound. He could have put me in a situation where my dream would come true. But now my dream's not coming true. My dream has been destroyed. It's God's fault. So yes, we prayed for his brother. That his brother would not put this big barrier between him and God and say, Lord, you did this to me. Or you didn't heal me. And so now his heart doesn't operate, right? Well, I shouldn't say now because I don't know the story now. But back then, his heart would not operate with God. He was shutting down. He was shutting the factory down. He was shutting his capacity down. Because now what he was going to live out of was bitterness. Bitterness in his soul. Oh, the Lord does not want us, any of us, to go to these places. The Lord says, no. My will for you, my desire for you, is so much greater than your desire even for your own life. God wants to restore us, our hearts and our lives in him. He wants us to operate in this full abundance of life. Because our heart was made to be vibrant and alive and full of joy. And if true joy has been missing in your life for some time, revisit where was that? Where did that get lost? Where did something come in and start damming up the spring of life, the waters of life? Where did that start to happen? Because it needs to be revisited. It needs to be brought before the Lord. There is a pathway of healing. And when I engage God with an open heart, with trust, with faith, with belief, there's going to be some movement in my life. There's going to be some changes that are going to take place because the Lord wants to touch my heart at its deepest place to bring revival, to bring restoration. See, there's a togetherness in the healing process. There's a togetherness because I have to yield to him. I have to yield to him. and trust him. He's my healer. He's the one who restores my soul. He's the one who brings life-giving water. He is the one who can turn my tears to joy. He's the one. So I don't want to deny him or push him away, because sometimes in our bitterness we push people away and we push God away. We're trying to protect ourselves, but God needs to touch the wound. We want to protect the wound, but God needs to touch the wound. And we need to know that his healing hands we can trust. We can trust his healing hands. So we trust God. We trust his great love for us, that he is the one who can restore areas of my heart that need restoration. We keep our hearts open to the Lord, open to what he wants to do. So sometimes this is a hard truth we need to hear. I don't like even necessarily preaching about it, but I know sometimes it's true to our human nature. It's just true to our human nature that in our humanness, we can learn, and we do learn, how to live life with a broken heart. We can learn to do that, right? Because it's common to all of us, and there's things in life that really hurt if we're honest. We can learn to manage. We can learn to get by. We can learn to function with our brokenness. It's like a person who has a terrible break in their leg. They don't seek the physician. They don't get the help. And it does come back together, the bones. They do come back together, but not in the way it should have come back together. And then you see somebody with a broken leg, and months down the road, they have a limp. They walk with a limp because it didn't heal properly. It just didn't heal right. They didn't get the physician's help. And if not dealt with, the person walks through life with a limp. You know, there's believers who walk through life with a limp. It's a spiritual limp, but it always affects them. It affects everything they do. It affects the decisions they make. It affects relationships and on and on and on. God doesn't want us to walk with a limp. Do you know what the doctor has to do in those situations when the bone doesn't heal properly? Have to break it again. That seems so cruel. You have to break it again? But at the point where it did not heal correctly, we have to go back. The physician has to break it again to reform and reset and bring it back together in the way it needs to come back together, so there will be no limp. But you'll be able to run. Run free, run fully, and have the capacity that you're supposed to have in life. You know, is it okay if I say, Lord, if it takes breaking me again, if it takes going to that place that didn't heal right, if it takes going to that place where it's gonna hurt when you break it again, but your purpose is just to bring the kind of healing that is needed. We can learn something about what physicians do. We can learn about things that God does. He has his ways. In our lives, we do need healing. We all need Jehovah Rapha. We all do. It could be a physical healing, yes, but a lot of times we all have this inner working in us. There needs to be healing. And as soon as we'll stop blaming ourselves or blaming others or blaming God and just bring our brokenness before the Lord and say, Lord, I need healing. Heal me. Heal me, Lord. As soon as we can stop the blame of why this happened in our life and just going back over and over that again, and letting bitterness continue on and on. Until we get to that point, we've got to just give ourselves to God and says, you're the healer, heal me. Heal me, Lord. For I desire to be healed. Because we want that bitterness to go. We don't want there to be a place for that in our lives. We want the fullness of God in our lives. God is your healer. He is close to the brokenhearted. There's a belief there that you need to have, that sometimes it's just that simple. Those prayer of an open heart, you just enter into his presence. He's so close, so close. Don't turn away. Turn to God and to the place that he will draw you to healing that he wants to do in your life.